Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. With Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us today. Our listener lines are open, and we would welcome your call right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada, by the way. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some problem issue at home, at the office, at school, COVID-related, just whatever it happens to be, let us hear from you. We'll talk it through today on Basic Gospel. Again, the number, 844-322-2742. Call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And Dr. Farley, what is on your mind today?
Well, I'll tell you, Bob, I have over the years experienced myself and seen others experience this discrepancy, a perceived discrepancy between what Jesus feels about us, what the Father feels about us, and then what the Holy Spirit is doing. Oh, man, the Holy Spirit's really coming down on me. He's really convicting me. He's beating me over the head. You know, I'm constantly grieving him and quenching him, and he's frustrated with. And, you know, you look in Hebrews chapter 10, Bob, and it says this: the Holy Spirit also testifies that I will put my laws in their hearts, write them on their minds, and I will remember their sins no more. And I just love that, you know, the author of Hebrews has already said this. Yeah. He already said it once, but he said it regarding God. And then he specifies later, saying the Holy Spirit also testifies. So now he's lasering in on the Spirit of God that lives in you, and he's saying, look, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all on the same page. The Holy Spirit knows what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit realizes your sins are taken away. The Holy Spirit remembers them no more. The Holy Spirit keeps no record of your wrongs. So next time you're thinking about the Spirit of God as your counselor, as your comforter, as your guide into all truth, you're going to be able to distinguish what he's really like versus the condemnation and the accusation of the enemy. If you remember, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is one of the three in one. Yeah. He is God himself. And look, he's fully aware of the cross, fully aware of the resurrection. He is on the same page. The entire Trinity is pleased to have us, and they keep no record of our wrongs. And Bob, to me, man, that was a revelation that, that, you know, God's presence inside of me does not contradict the gospel in the slightest. In fact, he is constantly bearing witness, constantly affirming that the cross worked, that the resurrection was a grand success, and that I am acceptable and loved and forgiven, and you are too. And that's the Holy Spirit's job. So look, we've got attitudes and actions. There's things in process. We're learning and growing. But have you ever had a life coach who said, I'm going to train you up and counsel you and disciple you, but I'm not going to hold anything against you? That's exactly who the Holy Spirit is to us.
Is that good news or what? Thank you, Andrew, for sharing that. Great news here at Basic Gospel, everybody. We want to hear from you. 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open except for one line, Andrew. And it's another Andrew, our friend Andrew, calling from North Carolina. Let's talk to him right now. Hi, Andrew. You're on the air. Or I'm
hey,
almost
Andrew.
On.
God, what a blessing. Hey. Man, I appreciate y'all so much. And one thing I was listening to and talking to Bob George and you, Bob Davis, was talking about the human race. And see, if more people would realize that there's only one race of people, and that's the human race, and within the human race, we have different ethnicities and different beliefs and things like that that would change. But my question today was, because, you know, you hear people talking about, you know, fasting and praying, you know, to get healing, and there's nothing wrong with that because God does heal. But like Isaiah, I think 53:4 and 53:5, it talks about, you know, healing, and people say by your stripes you are healed. But what I think that might refer more to a spiritual healing, because it talks about our wounds and transgressions. And I was wondering, maybe you could elaborate on that, because, you know, I hear people, you know, saying they were fasting and praying. And a lot of times, you know, people, they do get better. And then a lot of times, you know, they don't get better. I mean, but they do get better because they're going to heaven. And that's the problem, you feel me? So, yeah. So that's what I want to know, if you could just kind of, you know, elaborate on that.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yes, Andrew, great question. So glad you called in to trust us with your question. And it's an important one, my friend. I mean, you know, there are people teaching guaranteed healing, guaranteed health, and guaranteed wealth. And one of the passages that they will go to is in Isaiah, talking about he was pierced through and crushed for our sins or wrongdoings. And then it says, by his wounds or by his stripes we are healed. Well, you're absolutely right, my friend, that the context of this is iniquities and sins. It is not a guaranteed physical healing because of the cross. I mean, all we have to do is use our common sense for about 5 seconds to go, wait a minute, how many Christians, how many believers who are new creations in Christ, beneficiaries of the cross, and yet they struggle with cancer, they struggle with back pain, they struggle with eyesight issues, on and on. Even some of these very same health wealth preachers who are pushing the idea of guaranteed healing, they're wearing eyeglasses. And I've heard them whispering, Andrew, in corners about back trouble and shoulder pain that they can't seem to speak away or name it, claim it. I'm not going into names here, but I'm just telling you, they feel tremendous pressure to hide aches and pains because it doesn't jive with their message. And then here's the obvious. Every single preacher who has ever pushed that idea of guaranteed healing on this side of heaven, they all end up in a coffin, just like you and me. And so what does that tell you? I mean, you know, this physical body, Andrew, we've got limitations. Paul talks about weakness. He talks about a thorn in the flesh. He thanks the early church for taking care of him in his illness. He prescribes red wine for Timothy, who has stomach ailments. He doesn't say name it, claim it, gab it, grab it. His ultimate trust, as you already said, Andrew, his ultimate trust is in Jesus Christ and the fact that the greatest healing of all is a resurrection body in heaven. And, you know, heaven wouldn't need to exist if all of this other nonsense were true, that you just sort of speak it and it becomes your reality. We wouldn't need the return of Christ. We wouldn't need heaven. We wouldn't need a resurrection body. So, you know, you mentioned fasting, and I'll just say, look, we're not going to find a prescription where Christians are demanded to fast in the New Testament. The number one use of the word fast in the epistles is to hold fast to the head that is Jesus Christ. So back in the day, fasting for the Jews in particular was a means of being focused. You know, their form of entertainment was feasts and festivals. They didn't go to the movie theater. They had feasts and festivals. And so when you took some time out to fast and pray, it was basically saying, Andrew, you know, I can easily get distracted. I want to focus on what I'm praying about right now. I want to devote some time to that. And I would say, just as you did, amen, fine. If you want to set aside some time and you want to fast, that's great. But it doesn't earn you points with God, and it certainly doesn't guarantee a physical healing. We've got to see the greatest healing of all has happened in our hearts. His name is Jesus, and he is enough. Does that help?
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I knew y'all was going to answer it, because you always do. But when you speak on speaking with the word of God, the answer is going to come.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Amen. Enjoy y'all so much. Y'all have a God-blessed day.
Thank you, Andrew. Great to hear from you, brother. And we know you're listening out there every day, and every time you call, it's a blessing. So thank you for calling today. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. And lots of time on the clock, and we would love for you to pose your question to Andrew on this particular edition of Basic Gospel. And for those of you who support this ministry this month, we have a wonderful resource called The New Covenant Journey that we want to send you as our thanks for your support. This journey will take you to a place of rest and equip you to live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest extent. The New Covenant Journey, we want to send you a copy to say thank you for your gift of support in the month of March. So donate at basicgospel.net, and we would love for you to partner with us. And when you make that gift, be sure to request your copy of The New Covenant Journey. Well, Andrew, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, my name's Joe. I'm calling from Ithaca, New York. My question, does one have to be baptized to be saved? I know it's strongly recommended, but I'm hearing disputes. Some say that if you believe and invest Jesus into your heart and receive him and do everything you can to follow the word, you're saved. I have another brother who has shown me many scriptures showing that you need to believe, repent, and be baptized. And many of the verses have references to water and water baptism. So is it a necessity for salvation? That's the question.
Yeah. Well, Bob, this is one that we get regularly because, you know, there's so much mixed message out there and teaching on water baptism as if it's the catalyst to cause a person to be saved. And I just want to point out as well that even in the question, we got to be careful because the other option posed there in the question was, do your best to follow the word, and then isn't that what saves you? Well, that's not what saves you either. Look, there are many Christians out there who struggle, many Christians who fall and fail. We all stumble in many ways. It is not our following of all of the instruction in the Word of God that saves us. In particular, it is the cross and resurrection and us putting faith in Christ that saves us. So it was Jesus' ability to follow God's Word, so to speak, the Word of the Father, in ushering in Jesus through the tribe of Judah, being born fully God, fully man, being taken to a cross to be crucified, buried, and raised. It is the dedication of Jesus and the commitment of Christ that saves us, not our following the instruction in the Bible. So let's be clear, before there was ever a Bible, there were people saved by faith in Jesus. Before the Bible was ever bound together, published for us, and put in an easily accessible form, there were people who were responding by faith to God and his message, and that is what saves us. So with that said, then you say, all right, what about water baptism? Isn't that a cherry on top? Doesn't that sort of help us get saved? Or is that what gives us the Holy Spirit? Well, you go to Acts chapter 10, and you see the Apostle Peter, and he says, what prevents these people from being baptized? They have already received the Holy Spirit just as we did. So that tells you which came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Yeah. I mean, this shows you which came first, the Spirit or the water baptism. And clearly, they had already received the Spirit of God, Acts 10:47, and then they were invited to celebrate in water. And this is why, Bob, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God that I did not baptize many of you. God didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. And that's what saves people. It is the hearing and believing of the gospel that saves people, not water baptism. So then you say, all right, well, then why would we do it? Well, why do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? I mean, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So why do we get baptized? In remembrance of being placed in Christ. Yes. You go down in the water, Bob, you come up out of the water. That is a symbol of going down into death with Christ, burial with Christ, and then most importantly, being raised up to newness of life in Christ. So it's a birthday party, it's an anniversary, it's a celebration. I mean, right now, Bob Christopher is celebrating his anniversary with his wife, Gina. Now, that doesn't mean they're getting married. That means they're celebrating what's already taken place. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what water baptism is. It is celebrating what's already taken place. And my goodness, there's no greater celebration on earth.
Great analogy, Andrew. Thank you for that. And Joe, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. It's a very good question, and we appreciate your contacting us. Quick program note, tomorrow, our Friday teaching series on Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And friends, we hope you'll be available for that. Hope you're being edified as we move through that week by week. And if you have, of course, an opportunity to go back and listen to some of those sessions, I hope you'll do that. And you can find it at basicgospel.net/teaching. You can also order the book and the study guide at that particular URL. Again, basicgospel.net/teaching. Well, speaking of great questions, we're going to talk to Pat over in Fort Worth, who has a great question. Pat, welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, I love your show.
Oh, thank you, Pat.
Thanks.
Quick question. How do you even start a basic conversation about Christ without scaring them away with hell, brim, and fire? It's just, How do you do it without, I mean, just keeping it simple so someone could understand it, has never heard about Christ.
Oh, man, what a beautiful, practical question. And, you know, my first thought is there's more than one reason to come to Jesus. And, you know, fear of punishment, fear of fire, that all sounds logical and good. But you know what? Some people, a lot of people, are living in the here and now. And they're stressed out, they're fearful, they're anxious, they don't know what to do with their lives, they're afraid of tomorrow. And I believe that if we talk about the present benefits of Christ, why is Jesus a big deal to you? What does he do for you in terms of being in relationship with him? How is he your comforter and your guide? And, you know, why is being a Christian better than not being a Christian? I mean, besides heaven, besides a different future, besides getting a new zip code in heaven, besides God being a travel agent stamping your passport for heaven, there are present day huge benefits to having Christ as your life. Your sins are taken away. You can live guilt-free. You can live without condemnation and fear. You have God's counsel. You're one with Christ. You're totally accepted. So my bottom line thought here, guys, is we just say, I'm ready. I'm ready to give an account of the hope that is within me. It's not just about fire insurance someday. It's not about some future reprieve. It's mostly about a present hope and the present life of Christ inside of me and all that means to me. And I'm telling you, nobody can take your testimony. I mean, when you're bragging on Jesus, nobody can say, well, Bob, you know, you don't really mean that. Or Bob, you know, that's not true for you. Or Bob, you know, how could you say that? Because that's not your experience. No, you are free to have your testimony and to brag on Jesus. And I think bragging on the present benefits of Christ in you, man, that's where it's at.
Indeed.
Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, I get it. Thank you, guys. Love your show again.
Yeah, thank you, Pat.
All right.
Great to hear from you, friend. Again, 844-322-2742. We've got just enough time on the clock if you want to give us a live call, as Pat did, and we would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. Andrew had this call that came in off hours again. Let's listen.
Yes, how close do you think we are to the end of times? What is your estimate as to time being left on Earth?
Ooh, yeah. Now, isn't that the question of the century?
Yeah.
The question of the millennium? You know, I go back to 2 Peter 3 with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. And then I look at what the apostles thought. I mean, we're talking about the authors of the New Testament letters. They thought, you know, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. And they thought that it was right around the corner. And I mean, this is, you know, the Apostle John who's had this vision, and Paul and Peter and James. I mean, the average perception of the return of Christ was that it was imminent. And then I think we just have to say, well, wait a minute. God invented our time as we know it. Everything we experience in time is a creation of His. And to Him, one day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So, guys, I don't have it all mapped out. I don't have a secret crystal ball. I just know that the short answer is, boy, it's getting closer. And then tomorrow it's going to be even closer.
Right.
And so today, if you hear His voice, right, as Hebrews says, today if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Call upon the Lord. As Romans says, whoever calls upon the Lord, they'll be saved. So let's be in a hurry about receiving Christ, and then let's be patient about the return of Christ, because He already lives in us anyway. I mean, we're already one with Him right now, and I get it. We've got aching bodies. Man, whether it's our backs or our necks or our sore muscles or whatever we're going through with disease or sickness, I get it. I mean, we get tired. There's hope. There's something beyond that curtain that the world calls death. It's just falling asleep for us, and I get that. We can eagerly await that, but right here, right now, on planet Earth, it doesn't get any better than oneness with Jesus.
Absolutely. Great answer, Andrew. Thank you for that. Again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Andrew Farley joining me. I'm Bob Davis. And I had this question from Jerry in Lancaster, Texas. He says, a female friend and I are in a motorcycle ministry. She asked me if a woman alone should approach a biker to witness to him, or should there be a man present with her? What's your take on this?
Well, the New Testament is filled with female messengers of the gospel. So I don't believe for a second that half of the world's population should just shut down and have nothing to say about Christ. I think the misconception perhaps comes from a misunderstanding of 1 Timothy 2. I mean, Paul writes this young pastor, and he says, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. But what we don't realize is, as the passage continues, Paul is clearing up some heresy that's in the church. There was some early church teaching that Eve got created first, and that Adam was created second, and that Eve was smarter and Adam just wasn't so smart. This worship of the goddess Diana and this twisting of the creation story, Paul clears this up, and he says, look, Eve was deceived just like Adam was, and women should have a regular place in society. They don't have to be domineering over men. And all of that was the context of 1 Timothy 2. So this was not a blanket statement for every female to clam up in a church building. Look, there's neither male nor female. We're all one in Christ. And we can all think of women throughout history and today who are in Christ, who have been incredibly influential in our lives, in the lives of others, as they have proclaimed the beautiful message of the gospel, lifting up the name of Christ. There's no partiality with God. So women, enjoy Jesus, enjoy sharing Jesus, and men and women alike, we can shout this from the rooftops. It deserves to be celebrated.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Andrew. And Jerry, thank you for that question. You know, friends, in addition to our radio broadcast, there are other ways to connect with the Basic Gospel program every day. You can connect online on our website homepage. That's basicgospel.net. Watch for the red live feed link. It will appear just before 3 p.m. daily. And at the same spot on our homepage, you'll see links to both of our YouTube and Facebook live video streams. You can also hear the daily broadcast with the Basic Gospel app. Any way you connect with us is a good way, and I hope as you're listening, you will call with any question or concern you might have, and you can do that just about any time, 24 hours a day. The number always open at 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. If there's something you'd like us to talk about on the next live edition of Basic Gospel, well, leave us that voicemail at 844-322-2742. We love hearing from you. And please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported program, and we ask you to support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. And when you make your gift, we have a copy of a rich resource for you. It's called The New Covenant Journey, written to help you live your life in Jesus Christ to the very fullest. Be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with genuine thanks to my friend Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, and inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue in our Friday study series called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we'll see you for that tomorrow. Bye-bye.